Welcome, my audience, to ASO Radio, episode number 62 and a half, I do believe it to be. This is your old pal, MZ17, bringing you a brand spanking new episode of ASO Radio. And this is, unlike our typical episodes, this is a special episode, bringing you, specialness. Yeah, so, just hang on a second. Okay, sorry about that delay there. Not that delay, but the delay before. Which probably seemed rather short since I went and stopped the recording. Okay, but seriously though, I stopped the recording because, very important, have the door closed on your soundproof room when you're recording a radio episode. Very good note for those budding radio hobbyists out there. Is make sure you close off all external sources of noise. Now, granted, I have the window open, but that's because it's the freaking middle of summer and very, very hot. Okay, so, yes, and for those of you with attentive ears, you might notice that this episode is sans the usual warble, which, very nice thing. I had to go and stop and think, what in the world could I place the mic on to stop the warble? Because the microphone sits on the same desk as the computer which I record the show. And because of the computer's fan, it makes a vibration, makes a bit of sound too. And I had a couple of options. One was somehow get the mic away from the computer. It would be a pain if like the mic was someplace far away because I'd have to run over and hit the start and stop buttons on the recording function. Or if I hid the computer away, that would get rid of some of the noise, some of the vibration, but then it would be a pain in the ass and I need to switch out stuff, like put in or take out floppy drives, or, you know what I mean, basically computer crap. So finally I went, okay, well if I can't move the mic away from the computer, I can't move the computer away from the mic, there's got to be some sort of noise-canceling device that I can use. And now, as we all know, you don't want something solid, because something solid will go and it'll just transfer the sound rather well. Because although it may not seem it to us surface dwellers, sound travels best through dense substances. As a matter of fact, most energy waves do. So I had to figure out something that was basically had hollow bits in it. The more the merrier, especially if there was lots of repeating walls, because then the sound would echo and destroy itself. Well, I didn't have anything like thick corrugated cardboard that was in a convenient desk size, so I settled for the second best thing, an empty shoebox. Yes, believe it or not, it actually makes a very good noise-canceling device, as we can hear from this episode. This special episode of ASO Radio, not Radio Hobbyist How To. So, okay. How is this episode special? Well, that's a good question with a good answer. This episode, basically throwing out all the stops, all the rules, all the usual crap that we do, just to go and bring you straightforward, straight up, what we want to do for the show. This show, I'm going to be going and giving you my and DB3's ratings for the recently released Howl's Moving Castle, which had a limited theatrical release, had a maximum of about 200 odd theaters, and if you weren't fortunate enough to live near those 200 theaters, you're just going to have to wait until the DVD release, which hopefully will be soon, but you know how it is with things. The sooner the dates come, the harder it is to wait for them. Okay, but enough of my banter. No news. No fancy. You know, basically, I'm just doing the show what I want to do. DB3 is not here. He had to go take a little trip to Idaho. Yeah. Let's insert potato reference here. Seriously, though, I had to go and attend summer classes at BYU, Idaho. Yes, believe it or not, they exist in many states, many places. Howl's Moving Castle was a rather good movie. Well worth, in my opinion, the trip out to and the trip back from Salt Lake City. It was 3 hours there and 3 hours back, and probably appropriate stopping time, too. And remember, folks, when you go and you travel, have a schedule and keep to it as best you can. Alright, so here we are, and had a very nice trip up there. Actually took a couple of friends up. It wasn't just me and the ASO crew, it was a couple of others as well. A total of five of us. I actually went with Z-Guy. I went with Z-Guy, and we met DB3 there. I was also with Z-Guy's fiance, you know, the Queen of the Cat people, the one he rescued from the alien mole people. Yeah, listen to the back catalog if you need to catch up on that. And also a listener of our show, who I will simply refer to as K, if I refer to him at all, because I'm a big fan of the King of Fighters series, and K, you know, K's pretty cool. Probably cooler than a lot of people I know. And because he's fictional, and wasn't created with the faults that normal people have. Okay, so we all go out to Salt Lake to go and see this movie. Very nice theater we went and saw it in, had IMAX screens. And yes, you can watch non-IMAX movies on IMAX screens. Really nice, let's see, how to do this just right. I suppose I'll start off with the story and see where we can go from that. Howl's Moving Castle is about this 18-year-old girl named Sophie, who basically is unhappy being an 18-year-old, because all of her sisters are always going out with boys and having fun, and all she wants to do is follow in the family tradition of running the hat shop. But her mother insists she should go out and meet a nice man and settle down and get married and have children and live the exciting, wonderful life that young people live. But Sophie doesn't want any of this. She just wants to live the simple, calm, happy life that she likes to lead. Well, as fate would have it, she happens to run across Howl, the sorcerer of a magical moving castle, who is being followed by some mysterious muckmen. He then goes and helps Sophie escape from these muckmen, as he's got her caught up in this because they were chasing after him. That's basically where our movie opens, and I could cover more, but I shan't, because I like the word shan't, and because I really think that this movie is one of those movies which you really should just experience oneself. For you see, the whole movie, you could say, is written by Miyazaki, a man who's well past 50, for people that are in the same situation. He's basically making a movie about a young girl that doesn't know it but wishes that she was old, and what it's like to be an elder, to go and be in your twilight years and appreciate the simple small things that you never had time to appreciate when you were younger, like long quiet sits and thinking reflectively on one's earlier years and other things like that. So a lot of times in the film, we have scenes where it's going and it's showing scenery, like it might be showing the ocean, or it might be showing a field, or various other places such as the mountains, all while going and Sophie's reflecting about it, or one of the characters, or they're both staring at it while they're actually thinking about something else. As we all know, Ghibli characters are displayed rather well, rather convincingly, and this is no exception, where you can watch one of the characters and see what he or she is thinking in his or her own head. Well, I'll tell you a bit more of the story. Sophie is caught up in this whole affair with Howl. See, there's this war that has been declared between two rival kingdoms, and Howl is gone and called forth on by both of these kingdoms to go and fight. The thing is that Howl runs two different fronts to his sorcery business, both under assumed names, so that he can remain his independence. and keep free of anyone's rule but his own. He also has a young apprentice, a boy, which Sophie quickly befriends, but not before she befriends the scarecrow, who he calls Turniphead, who's a very delightful mute character, who more or less mainly hops about on his pole, and also, oh, his name starts with a C. I'm going to get hate mail over this, because Calcifer, that's it, Calcifer, who is the fire demon who Hal has a contract with. Now, Sophie's cursed by the Witch of the Waste, who was jealous of her association with Hal and her youthful looks. And so she placed this curse on Sophie, which makes her appear old. The curse is a little more complicated than that. But, of course, like I said, I don't want to reveal everything, because then it would be no fun to watch this film. And similarly, Calcifer and Hal share a curse. But the problem with the curse is they prevent anyone from saying what the curse is and what it involves. As such, Sophie has to go and figure out their curse while trying the whole while to go and break her own curse. Which leads to a lot of exciting confrontations and humorous moments as she tries to get along with having an old body and just being associated with such a chaotic character such as Hal, who is quite the playboy. And I don't mean that as in going and playing up women and trying to get with them, but more as a guy who's very vain and idealistic and wants to live life on his own terms. So this film is a very nice film. At some point, it was really great watching this on an IMAX screen, by the way, simply because it was just, it wraps around and basically encompasses your entire vision. And so points when they were jumping from rooftop to rooftop, gently floating more or less on the wind to get from place to place, it created a real sense of height and scale that isn't really portrayed properly in a lot of movies, because they, instead of using real height, they use computer-generated height and they get the proportions off. But of course, Hal's Moving Castle is completely fictional, uses animated cells and some computer wizardry to go and get its effects, but it has created a very realistic sense of depth, and so everything feels proportionate, like it all has depth and width and breadth and girth, and you can really imagine all of these things in real life because they feel real, which I suppose is one of the strong hallmarks of Ghibli stuff, is they're really good at not only creating believable characters, but believable worlds that they inhabit, that really make it convincing because the people match the worlds and the worlds match the people. It's like if you took somebody, say, from the 1890s and inserted them into the 1950s, it just wouldn't work out very well if it was telling a story this way, because they would look and act different than people that would be from a similar, from a different place or time. You know, just as if you took a Frenchman and you put him in South Korea, it's not going to go and work out well. But Ghibli manages to match its characters with the environments, and it just logically works. So what did I personally think of Hal's Moving Castle? Well, first of all, Joe Hisaishi always does an excellent score on the Ghibli films. Actually, watching this movie reminded me a lot of Kiki's Delivery Service, because it seems to visit that same fantastical, idealistic Europe. This one, however, seems not to take place in so much northern Europe, I should say, you know, the northwestern part of Europe, probably around France and Germany. This seems more like in the Bavaria region of southern Germany or southeastern France or Austria, simply because a lot of its inspirations seem to be Bavarian in scope, such as the designs and colors that are used, and, of course, the house architecture. So, very, very convincing, very good music. Both of them complement each other well. And the character is very likable. Sophie, you can understand where she's coming from, or at least I can. My whole life, people assume that I'm older than I am, simply because of the way that I act, and the way that I talk. They always think that I'm a few years older than I am. And so I understand how Sophie feels frustrated being younger than she feels that she is. And so she's a very nice character. I actually prefer old Sophie's voice just because it seems better, just to work better. Hal is very likable, even though he is somewhat full of himself. Of course, if I was a powerful wizard, I might be as well. His apprentice, very good having him in there to provide a bit of a connection with the younger audiences that might watch this. After all, Hal's Moving Castle isn't really so much a film meant for young people. As I said earlier, it's more meant for old people. So unless you had children that were very mature and wouldn't mind a couple of slow moments throughout the film, or if you were older yourself, you might want to find something else for the more impatient, need lots of fast action types to watch. However, for those that can appreciate the pacing of Hal's Moving Castle, it's a very rewarding experience and well worth watching. And of course, there's other characters too that have more minor roles in this. Of course, Calcifer is really great, has kind of a wacky voice. He's a fire spirit, heats Hal's castle to keep it moving, to make his bath water, basically keep the house going right. And it's just great. And one of the things that I like is how Sophie is always exerting her will over Calcifer, according to his contract. His curse that he has with Hal is only Hal should be able to control him, and only Hal should be able to do this and that. But Sophie will have none of this, and she pigheadedly insists on going and forcing Calcifer to do this, or forcing him to do that, or cleaning out his fireplace or whatnot. Of course, he doesn't want her to do, but being an ornery old lady who wants her own way, it happens. And so very delightful characters. All in all, I'm going to have to go and give this one a highly recommended, because I really enjoyed it. It wasn't exactly, I'd say, one of the crowning jewels in Miyazaki's crown, but like I said, this is one of those movies that's more formed from perspective. You know, I might be saying 20 or 30 or maybe even 10 years down the line that, oh yes, you know, after looking at these movies again, I much prefer Hal's Moving Castle over the others, but that just might be because this movie is targeted towards people that aren't spry young people. But I really enjoyed it. Didn't enjoy it as much as, say, The Cat Returns or Porco Rosso, but I did really enjoy it. And I'd say this probably falls about the middle of all of Ghibli's films as far as quality goes. Now, DB3 couldn't be with us. Originally I was planning on going and having him call in through amazing cellular technology in order to go and give his take on the whole thing. Unfortunately, though, we weren't able to manage this. He's rather busy, and contact with him is somewhat sporadic, but that's what you get for choosing a cell phone carrier that has crappy service and a area that you went to. So always make sure when you sign up for a phone contract that anywhere you might possibly be going has coverage. Alright, but what DB3 said was that he wanted to give this show a recommended. He didn't feel that the story was as coherent as it could be. He said it just kind of seemed that they drifted from one place to another without fully explaining things. And I suppose that's true. The film does leave a lot of bits for somebody to go and say, oh, well, they probably did this because this happened, instead of going and clearly spelling out each and every point that happened throughout the show. So if you're irritated by things that don't explain everything, yes, that stands. Plus, he also said that it was a bit slower, and so that somewhat affected things, too. And more or less, he just said that it just didn't seem to have as tight of inner workings as the show could have. So I give it a highly recommended, and he gives it a recommended. Z-Guy also saw the show. I wasn't able to go and get the opinion from him, but from what I was able to go and generally get the gist of, he enjoyed it, but he also didn't think that it was as strong as it could be. And so I'm going to go ahead. I believe he probably would have given this a highly recommended, so that's what I'm going to give on the site. I'll talk with him later, find out if he'd actually give it something else, and if so, I'll adjust that appropriately. I really enjoyed Howl's Moving Castle. I kind of wish that circumstances could have led it so that we had more time to spend out in the city, but with Z-Guy's nightly work schedule, he's normally awake during the night, and his fiance didn't get off work until that afternoon, so we had to leave in the afternoon instead of the morning, and so we didn't really have any spare time. As a matter of fact, we got into the movie minutes after it began, and so we were actually lucky that we didn't miss more than we did. Sophie's a hat maker, by the way. Should have mentioned that in the review. It doesn't play a giant role in the story, mind you, but it's kind of fun. Okay, so what am I going to do for the rest of this episode? So really, I could just cut it right here at this 21-minute mark. But I don't think that would be very nice. I mean, all you nice people out there take all the time to go and download or stream the show and listen to it. You know, if I stop now, then that would just... Wouldn't it be cool? So, let's see here. Lately, I've been thinking about a couple of things. First of all, I want to make merchandise, Acer Radio merchandise, available. But I don't know what people want. Or rather, I know what people want, but what I want to know is what people are willing to pay for. For example, we could have t-shirts, but these would be somewhere between $10 and $15 each. And unless people are willing to pay that much for a shirt, then it doesn't make any sense for me to go and make the shirts. Of course, there's always CDs of our past episodes that people could buy containing like certain sets of seasons. But I don't know if you guys really want CD versions of our past episodes, even though it's very convenient to have. Keep all the episodes for on the go. And of course, there's other things we could do, like bumper stickers, an Acer Radio calendar, other crazy stuff like that, you know. But what I want to know is, what would you be willing to go and pay money for? I mean, everybody would like a nice Acer Radio t-shirt, or perhaps somebody would like a specially autographed Acer Radio rocket complete with laser lights. But, you know, what I want to know is what people are actually willing to pay money out for. Now, bumper stickers or, like, certain things that we could put out would only be like, you know, $1 or $2, then, you know, the shipping on top of that, maybe bring it up to $5. So if it's a question of price, let me know what sort of price range that you would like for Acer Radio merchandise to be. If it's a matter of materials, write into the show and say what sort of stuff you'd like for us to make available. Or if, and this is important as well, even though one might not think so, if you just wouldn't really be willing to buy Acer Radio merchandise at all, not because it's too expensive or because we don't have something available that you'd like, it's just because you don't really care for the idea of putting out money for Acer Radio branded stuff, you know. Because I want to hear from everybody, those that want merchandise, those that don't, those who want cheap, those who want expensive, basically because I want to figure out where everybody's interests lay. Because I want to know whether doing the merchandise is worthwhile or not. Because if there's only a few good-intentioned people that never buy anything, then, you know, that's worse than people being brutally honest and saying, no, I don't actually want anything. Or, you know, if you can't afford anything, say that you come from a low-income family, then let me know that, and that way, you know. I'm basically saying, tell me whether or not you would want Acer Radio merchandise, what you would want, and why or why not you wouldn't want any. Okay, so what's the other thing that I've been thinking about? All right, well, I'm just going to kind of freeform it here. Don't want to stick to the numbers. One of the other things I was thinking about is the ads on the show. So far, we've just inserted funny ads on the shows. unless this shows too far back in time, as I'm recording in the mysterious future to send this episode to the past, as many of our special half episodes are. But we have some funny commercials on the show. I want to know what you thought was funny, what you thought sucked, and whether or not you think that you or other companies would show a genuine interest in advertising on ASO Radio. And also, of course, any ideas for other funny commercials that we can put on are welcome, as we don't always think up super funny commercials all the time easily on our own. And besides, I like hearing from you fans because your creative input lets us go and have direction. Okay, so here's another thing that I've been thinking about. How really hot a Connie from Roman One Half is. She's just not appreciated enough, but her tomboyishness is not something to go and be ashamed of. You see, I want to address our female listeners for a moment. Actually, originally this was just going to be BS, but I'm just going to go with it. A lot of emphasis is put these days on how somebody appears, on how they apply their makeup, on how much they weigh, and also to a lesser but still present extent, the front that they put forward to go and try to blend in, basically act like the popular people, the important people, the people that they wish they could hang around with. And I want to address that real quick. This is mainly targeted towards our female listeners, but guys, this applies too, just to insert the correct scenarios and whatnot for yourself. What I want to say is, the really cool people in my book are those people that are true to themselves. You know, that let's say that there was a lady out there, a young lady, and she really liked, let's just pick something that isn't very ladylike, you know, by society standards. Let's say that she liked fixing cars, simply because that's something I'm not very good at and because that's kind of uncommon for women. Well, she really likes fixing cars, but she doesn't want her friends to know this and the people at school to know this. So she puts forth this front, buys, you know, the popular brands of clothes, and, you know, goes along with what her friends think are the latest fashions. Now, that person there, I can't admire, because they're going and they're letting their own insecurities go and overweigh who they really are inside. If this woman was true to herself, wasn't acting like a little girl that was afraid to be the way that she really is, she might lose some of those supposed friends that she hangs around with. But those people weren't really worth knowing in the first place. So all they're doing is judging her on the ways that she acts. They don't really care what she's like herself. And even if, you know, even if they feigned that she did, they'd probably talk ill of her behind her back. Those people were never worth knowing in the first place. The people that were worth knowing, maybe only one or two in the group, but they'll stay friends with her, even if she wears her coveralls to school, or if she goes and she can't go down to the mall because she has to go and overhaul a four-cylinder engine. That is somebody that I could admire. And what a lot of people don't realize that just try to act well enough to go and fit in with others is that they go and they put forth this front so people think that they're that way. And because of that, they go and isolate themselves from people that share similar interests. Taking this young lady from our example, if she was acting this way as the auto mechanic that she really is inside her heart, then other girls that would have an interest in automobiles or other guys would go and approach her about this, and they'd basically swap stories and laugh it up and have a good old time reminiscing about this crazy engine, couldn't figure out what it was, wouldn't go for any reason, turned out I forgot to put gas in the engine. You know, stuff like that, just, you know, everybody breaks down laughing. And so I guess, as corny and trite as my message may be, seriously, being true to yourself is the best way to go. I mean, look at Sophie from Howl's Moving Castle. She really just tried to go and be herself, to go and live the way that she wanted to live. And at first, she was appalled by this curse put on her to look like an old woman. But over time, she found out she really didn't mind that much. That being young and pretty wasn't that big a deal in the end. It wasn't really that important to her living a happy life. Or look at me. I eat tubes of frozen cookie dough and that spray cheese stuff while living in my grandparents' cellar and just watching anime for 4 or 5 hours every day. Okay, maybe that's not who I am. But what I was going to say is in high school, if I hadn't expressed my interest and passion for anime, I would have never met the likes of Z-Guy or DB3 or T-Man. Or even if I had met those fellows, I would have never gone and brought up this interest of mine, and we would have never found our common bond. And Asia Radio may have never been. So that's just another prime example of why it never hurts to be true to yourself. Okay, so what else do we have? Well, this is the last ASO Radio episode we'll be having for a while. We're going to our summer break, which will be fun. The summer break isn't actually a whole break. It's actually just a break from putting up episodes. Though the rate I go at, it seems that putting up episodes is a break from the normal, rather than the other way around. But basically, I'm going to be gone probably July, August, more or less up until pretty close to NamDesuCon starting up. I'm going to go ahead and have a couple of things that I'll be taking care of instead of episodes. I'm going to be updating some of the other websites on NZ17.com. I will also be going and what else? Oh, I'm going to be doing a lot of work on the ASO Radio site behind the scenes, getting some stuff done to make it easier for me to put up new episodes, and also making it more interactive for listeners to the show. Right now we have up our polls, of course, which are always a battle of will. You can vote in our polls as many times as you want. It's not a one vote per person thing around here. We also have our hit counter. I wouldn't say that's the pinnacle of interactivity, but, you know. We have our forum, which I openly invite everybody to go to and express their thoughts and opinions on. As, of course, the forum, we have one for each of our sites on NZ17 Productions. We have Anifanaticu, Macro Movie, The Comic, and ASO Radio. And, of course, we also have the Commonplace Chat, which is where you can go and chat about anything at all. We like to go and see our forum be lively and active with lots and lots of people talking about this and talking about that, even if it doesn't necessarily directly pertain to things, just because we like to know that you guys are out there listening. Radio is kind of a one-way channel, and so the only way for us to really know is if you go to our message board and write messages, and if you send in fan mail, which, of course, is another interactive part of our site. And we also have our fan art gallery. Anyone that wants to go and send in fan art to the show, they just write in using the fan mail function of the site. Let us know they want to send in fan art, and I'll give instructions on how to do that. And every month, of course, we have a drawing from our fan art for our winners. With, of course, we have prizes from our mystery vault that we give away. So, you know, it's always, you know, what did I get? You know, am I going to win? What am I going to get? You never know until it arrives. So, I'd like anyone, of course, sending out a lot of fan mail ideas here on this show, about writing in about the commercials and writing in about the merchandise. I'd also like you guys to send in any ideas you might have on interactive ideas for the website, things that you would like to see added to the ASO Radio site to go and give it a bit more pizzazz, I suppose. Let's let you go and just fun little stuff that you could put on the site, hopefully things that are easy to implement, but stuff that would go and keep people coming back, things that would keep people interested that they could interact with. For example, this is my current big project. Is on the site presently, I have up reviews from our first 50 episodes for video games, for soundtracks, and for anime. Going to probably put up that one Sailor Moon manga review I did from a while back. And future episodes, I'm going to be reviewing a lot of manga, so I'll be filling out that section nicely when the time comes. But right now, each of those databases is independent from each other. Not that I have anything against independence, but as we all know, things achieve more together in groups. What I'm going to be doing is adding another database, this one about our episodes. It'll contain the descriptions from each of our episodes, as well as what we reviewed. If you click on the episode number, it'll actually start playing that show. If you click on one of the reviews, it will actually take you to the rating that we gave on that show for that particular item, so you'll be able to go and quickly and easily assess what scores we gave by clicking on it. And then when you're looking at the reviews rating, you can click on the episode number and go back to that episode you were looking at. Or you can click on a different show and go to that show. Or vice versa, you know, you can just pick and click and go all over and find what you want to find about the shows you want to know about. So, very nice feature, that one. And I'm going to be very proud of that once that's up. We've also have a chat room that we have on the site. Don't know how many people know about that. It's a real stickler. I'm trying to go and keep the navigation menu, the Navi, at the top of the ASO Radio website as simplified as I can, so I just don't have a bajillion links people have to sift through. But the problem is that there's so much content to NZ17 Productions and the ASO Radio site that it's really hard to go and not have links to it all. Because if I don't put links to it all, then people are going to have to guess which section has the link hidden in it. Like, in the links section is the banners and buttons for linking to ASO Radio, which I encourage everybody to do out there. The more people that link to the site, the higher we are up in the search engines, the more people we have listening, and we really want to keep a self-feeding cycle going on where we just keep getting more and more popular. Because, you know, if I can't get financially compensated for doing this show, which, you know, we try our darndest to do, I at least want to go and have a large listening audience. As they say, if I can't have the fortune, at least have me the fame. And speaking of fortune and fame and such, got a new thing going on. Might have mentioned this in another episode, but Club NZ is a special feature coming to the whole NZ17 Productions family of sites, including Anafanaticu and Macro V the Comic. Essentially, Club NZ is going to be a members-only exclusive club. The cost is $20 a year, which is really cheap, actually, if you think about it. That's less than $2 a month. And with Club NZ, you get all sorts of benefits, right? You get your own private message board on the forum, which is really nice because what people post on the Club NZ message board gets higher priority than anything else because, well, if the people are paying for it, obviously they're dedicated to the show, and we want to reward that dedication by going and responding appropriately to them. The idea is if you're listening to your paying audience, then that will go and get you more paying audience because you're being respectful of their needs and wants. So, okay, Club NZ with higher priority as far as customer, Jesus, sound like a businessman. Higher priority listener requests. We also have advanced episodes of ASO Radio for those members of Club NZ. If you sign up with Club NZ, you'll be able to actually get episodes that are a month ahead of what everybody else gets. So say if somebody was listening to episode 80, you'd already be listening to like 84, 83, or 85, and all the episodes in between. So they'd be listening to episode 80. You'd be listening to, you know, your choice of 81, 82, 83, 84. Come back at any point and listen to those. Also, special comics made by the author of Macro V the Comic. They are not, you know, they might be like some sort of special Macrobo thing, but generally they're going to be a comic completely out of left field, dealing with different characters, different funny situations. And, of course, Anifanaticu Prime, which is a special column written by our Anifanaticu staff, exclusively available to only to our Posh Club NZ members. And so the things like the advanced episodes or possibly advanced comics or articles, those will be available to Club NZ members ahead of the general public. And also there'll be exclusive Club NZ only content, which will never be seen by the general public, that's exclusively only for you guys, the paying members of Club NZ. But of course it would be rather unfair and rude of me to go and deny access to our public at large to episodes, and so that's why everybody gets the same episodes, the same core episodes outside of, you know, the specials we do for Club NZ. Everybody gets access to those. It's just Club NZ people, it's kind of like they scratched our backs by giving us a bit of scratch, you know, money for our service, and we scratch their back by going and giving them their episodes a little bit early. So if you don't want to be left out, you know, join Club NZ and get access to all these nice features. Okay, so I've flapped my gums for quite a bit. So what shall I do? What shall I do? Suppose I could pop on some music. You know, just a bit of music. Loosen things up a little bit. You know, I do feel like a bit of music. I'm probably going to do a manga review here in a bit. Just a little bit, do a little manga review. But let's play some music. Something I like. Let's see what we got. That one's pretty good. You know what? I really like that one. So, let's see. We've got this theme song from Nurse Witch Komugi, which you've heard on this show before when I went crazy that one time. Or we've got Search and Destroy, You Can Run, from Spybot Search and Destroy. It's kind of a cool little song. Let's see here. What's the other one I wanted to play? Oh, we've got this cool Castlevania one from this contest that went on a while back. So I'm going to play, I think I'm going to play that Castlevania one. It's called Once Upon a Time in Transylvania. And also, I'm going to throw out this song called Viva La Resolution. It was originally written for a video game conference that Microsoft was going to be part of, and they wanted a song to go and represent all of the people that loved video games growing up and joined the video game industry because of that. But at the last minute, they decided that they were going to cut music as being part of their presentation, so this guy was left sitting on this song that he had written just for them, and he got permission just to release it to the internet at large, since they didn't want to buy it, but they did compensate him for his time. Anyways, let's go ahead and listen to those, and then we'll come back and I'll do a bit of a review. So, enjoy. I'm going to do a little test here real quick. Okay, bad test. There we go. Sorry, cut out a bit there. Yeah, you know, technicality.
Yeah, I mean, just the mic a bit.
You see that laser? That there boy's got a whip. You sure do, don't it? I reckon he's gonna get him.
This competition, music competition, was to mix together a remix of the Watchtower theme from Castlevania. I love that place. That was Once Upon a Time in Transylvania by Vert. Very nice remix. As a matter of fact, of course, we here at ASO Radio love featuring music on our show, but we can only do so when we have permission. That's why we just don't go willy-nilly and play whatever anime soundtrack we can, as that costs quite a bit of money, because we have to pay for the permission of those people. But if you know somebody that does video game remixes, or other such music of their own, and they would like to be featured on ASO Radio, or you think somebody that you know of should be featured on ASO Radio, then write to us and let us know. If it's somebody online that you really like the music of, write to them and ask if they'd like to be featured on ASO Radio. And if they say yes, let us know, and we'll play their stuff. It's just the way it works. And OLMD, he really likes music, so if you know somebody that does, say, anime or video game remixes, clue me in, and then we can feature them. So, next up we have Viva La Resolution, which I should warn some of our more prudish listeners that this does have some, well, this is the original unedited version, and so it could be considered a bit insensitive, but nonetheless, it's a nice song. So, here we are.
Party for these wrecked guys.
that's a long one. Okay, I'm sorry, that was just going on forever, and I was getting really, really bored just sitting here, and it's like, you know, when you listen to music, hey, God, I hate moths, but the second moth tried to dive bomb me, they're really fucking pissing me off. Sorry, it's true, I mean, what the fuck? I hate moths, and I hate flies. As a matter of fact, I hate most flying insects, but you know what, I can deal with most of them, ladybugs, beetles, you know, wasps, bees, I'm fine with. The two big ones I have a problem with are moths and flies. You know why? Because moths are fucking stupid. They fly right into fire, they fly right into light bulbs, they electrocute themselves, they fly into people who are like, oh look, there's light on that person, obviously he must be a light as well, and I'm not being burned. No, I don't like you moths. I'm not a light source. I don't want to be your friend. I wish you would all go away. I don't want you to, you know, experience any harm, but if you freaking dive bomb me again, don't be surprised if I hunt you down for 4 hours until I find you and I smash your little fluttery body into so much goo. Also, flies I don't like, they eat crap and they like to get on your skin. Okay. So, back to the show. And sanity. Away from bugs. Although how possible that is, I really don't know. As I really hate bugs, and I'm recording this show at night, and there's a giant, stupid moth in this room. Hopefully, he will only dive bomb me twice, and have learned his lesson. But, no, even though I'm wearing a black shirt, it has a somewhat reflective design on it, so he's not lying to me. Yeah, I shouldn't let it get to me. But sometimes it seems like they really personally want to annoy the hell out of me. So, time for a manga review. Now, I could review the first volume of Oh My Goddess, as it's a very good volume. As a matter of fact, I have quite a few Oh My Goddess volumes at this point. I've got like, I don't know, four, maybe five. It's really good. I could have six for all I know. I've got like a duplicate of one issue because I bought it as a set off of eBay. And okay, so Oh My Goddess, really good series. I could review that. Or I could review, say, Evangelion, because I have the first two volumes of that. Or even I could there's another one I've been reading. Let me put on my glasses here. Pardon me for just a second. Wanna check on what else I've been reading. Thought I had more than that. Well, outside of You're in My Secret, which I've done a review of before, and I can't even remember what I gave it, but I think I gave it a recommended. Anyways, I also read the first, the third volume of Ramona One Half. But most recently, I've read the first volume of Ramona One Half, and I've got to say, is that I'm sensing a trend, and it seems that all the manga that I read tends to be better than the anime that it was based off of. Well, except Evangelion. Maybe it's just the first volume or two, but doesn't come off anywhere as near as good as the anime. Okay, so instead of reviewing Oh My Goddess this episode, I'm going to go and review first volume of Ramona One Half. And just blows away the anime. The OAVs, the movies, blows all of their own animation away. And the best reason I can describe as to why this is because Ramona One Half, the television show, can be best described as a slapstick comedy with romantic bits thrown in. Ramona One Half, the manga, comes off more as a romance with comedic moments and martial arts thrown in. And because, you know, Ram the One Half basically has three elements. The shape-shifting cursed people, the martial arts, okay, four parts, assuming, the comedy, and the romance. That basically sums up Ram the One Half. Surefire hit, to be sure, because, you know, anyways, everybody loves that stuff. But here's the difference, is that just like with the Oh My Goddess manga versus, say, the Oh My Goddess television show, is the television shows felt like it was more or less actors on a stage citing their lines, you know, doing their bits. I'm not talking about the quality of the voice actors. I'm just saying the show just felt like people just, like, writers thinking up funny moments and then just placing their characters into them. And then saying, that's good to go, you know. So the characters themselves weren't very believable. But in the Ram the One Half manga, they come off as very believable. For example, we'll just take Ram and Akane as they're featured the most. Now, in the anime, Ramna is always teasing Akane, saying that she's uncute, that she's, you know, a boy, and going on and on about how she can't cook, how she looks dumpy, and basically, you know, being mean and, you know, poking fun at her. You know, not so much doing it because he hates her, mind you, but because, you know, she accuses him of this or that, even though she might be guilty of something as well, or she, you know, she teases him for doing something that she perceives as the wrong way, and so he just teases her back. He's basically seeing it as tit for tat, as just matching her for her mean teasing. Now, in the show, it just seems that basically it's everything's Ramna's fault, and that Akane is always jumping on him for this very fact, and that they're just mean to each other, you know, for no good reason. You know, that it goes beyond just teasing, that they just like being mean to each other on occasion, though they are, you know, kind of nice and open up once in a while. The manga is quite different. Now, given both Akane and Ramna tease each other a bit, but in the manga, they're much more prone to say, well, you know what, Akane, I wasn't really serious about that. You actually are nice, you know, when it is kind of nice when we're together. Or you might say something like, yeah, well, you know, Akane, your cooking might not be the best, but I do like eating it because you make it, you know. Whereas in the anime, Ramna hardly ever says anything to that effect. Now, granted, in the manga, much like the anime, usually when they say something sincere or nice, then some comedic moment comes along to go and ruin what could have turned into a moment between the two characters. But in the manga, these romantic moments, these moments where they're both nice to each other, last a lot longer, feel a lot more natural, as, you know, two awkward teenagers would be around each other. And for that, it gets a lot of credit in my book. And also, the manga, the anime in Japan was made while the manga was running. And so the manga had already been going for quite a while. And they started to introduce this character and that character to get the ratings up, because at first Ram the One Half wasn't a very big ratings getter in Japan. And they had to go and change around a couple of elements of the show to try and bolster its popularity. They did this by, instead of just following the manga par for par, by going and introducing some of the more popular characters earlier. When it was brought over here, Viz took this one further, and they completely changed around the Japanese order of episodes just so they could introduce certain characters sooner than later and try to go and make the earlier, slower season faster. Problem is that the Japanese who were doing the anime got too caught up in trying to get high ratings and ended up going and burning out the jokes and situations they would try to utilize the most that were the favorites by going and giving them overexposure and thus taking away from their poignancy. But the manga is more, a while back I reviewed this anime. I forget what it is, unfortunately, but I believe that it was Dokoida. And I said about Dokoida, the nice part about it is a lot of times the episodes take the pacing of real life. That it's not always super fast, but you get this nice feeling of realism because time seems to pass by in a realistic manner, in a believable manner. And the same thing comes from the Ramna manga. The first volume takes place over, we'll say, the first week, half a week to week, that Ramna comes to stay with the Tendos. And I suppose, at this point, I really should go and say what the story is. Basically, the whole Ramna one half story is that Ramna gets engaged to his father's best friend's daughter. And these two never ask for the engagement, but they end up together anyways. Ramna and his father, as well as his fiancée's family, are martial artists. And they're always being challenged by odd challengers that seem to work their way out of the woodwork. And some of them are cursed, much like Ramna himself, who, whenever he gets wet with cold water, happens to change into a girl. And whenever he gets hit with hot water, he changes into a boy. There's some other characters with a similar curse, except they change into different things. And anyways, the art, especially the Ramna One Half series, was put together rather cheaply. You can really tell when you watch the OAVs the difference in quality. I personally like the cheaper filling of the TV show better, but this manga, how to put it, it's both simple, yet has, how to put it, it's simple, but it has detail to it. And so it doesn't overwhelm you with too much details in the scene, so you can't tell what's going on, but it provides enough detail where your mind fills in all the blanks, and thus gives you a really good idea, especially with motion. Rumiko Takahashi is excellent at drawing motion and action and fighting scenes into this manga, and it's just really, really great. And it, like I said, the characters come off a lot better, better paced, more like real characters that might tease each other or might fight now and again, but still get along like real people do. In real life, you know, people aren't always constantly fighting or constantly making fun of each other, constantly being nice. There's always this balance, and they're always switching back and forth between this emotion and that emotion, which is what you get with Ramna One Half the manga, whereas with Ramna One Half the anime, all you really end up getting is a whole bunch of slapstick moments interspersed with some scenery changes. It's basically, say, Ramna might do something wrong in either the manga or the anime. In the anime, boom, he's instantly hit by a hammer that just came out of nowhere. In the manga, he might get growled at, or an angry look, or he might get pulled by his pigtail, or he might get kicked, or somebody might throw something at him. So there's a lot more unpredictability about it. Or someone just might get their feelings hurt, or somebody might pretend to, and then throw off his guard, and then take advantage of that. Just it's just a lot better of a creature. So that's a funny thing about manga. Is people, when they're talking about American movies and books and whatnot, always say, oh, the book was so much better. But I'm finding with manga, it's not just so cut and dry. Of course, with books, it's not always, you know, the movie's worse than the book, but it does seem to be the general rule. But with manga, it could really be either way. Manga is based off of anime or based off of video games or vice versa. And one might be better than the other. Sometimes you'll find that a manga author's original version is much better than the anime. Or sometimes you'll find that the anime is much better than the manga, like, for example, Excel Saga. And so it's just funny how unpredictable that can be, but I suppose that's why we have reviews on this show and don't just simply sit around and say, yeah, I like anime. That stuff on Cartoon Network's pretty nice. Actually, that does bring me back to something real quick before I wrap up this episode, which is about time I should. Is ONZ is getting older every day. He getting on in his years. Oh, yes. And it's getting harder and harder to stay in touch with the youth culture. So, okay, what I'm getting at is I don't think my funnies are going in staying relevant to what our prime listening audience watches today. So I think I need to go and insert more jokes dealing with the anime they show Saturday mornings and on, you know, channels like Cartoon Network and whatnot. So, as the last bit of fan mail suggestion, this show, send me in your suggestion for anime that I should make fun of in our funny section that's usually at the beginning of the show. Not this show, because, yeah, this is special. And I will do my darndest to go and make fun of a certain anime that happens to be on Saturday mornings, and hopefully I can remain more relevant by doing so and delighting our younger listeners. But, of course, I don't want to isolate our folks at the higher end of the spectrum either, so, you know, all suggestions welcome, but if it's on television, that helps more. So, alright, but anyways, we're almost hour and 10 minutes long. Yes, that's right, 70 minutes. So I'm going to wrap up this episode of A-Show Radio. Want to go and give a quick shout-out to all my homies. T-Man, Z-Guy, DB3, Kiko6, all those other made-up personalities and special guests that we've had on the show. Want to give a shout-out to all you guys. Wish you all well. And I'm looking forward to working with some more episodes with you guys in the future. Anyways, from ASO Radio, this is NZ17 signing out and saying, have a nice summer, avoid getting a sunburn, don't eat too much watermelon, and of course, keep those anime videos handy.